Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Independence, Uganda, and you're so glad that God has blessed us with such a beautiful country and beautiful people. You see, God's word teaches that in Christ we become one. There's neither Jew nor Greek, and in our context, there's neither Northerner, Westerner, Easterner, or people from Central. We all become one in Jesus Christ, and as a result, I'm from the West. And I married a woman from Central Uganda, and God has given us three amazing Ugandans that we are raising to become responsible Christians and productive citizens of this nation. And I know God's heart is for all of us to be restored to one another. Happy independence once again. Let's pray, even as I get into God's word. Now, Father, thank you so much for your word. Bless it to our hearts. And I'm praying that as we listen to your word, we become doers of the word. In Jesus' name I do pray, and everybody said, amen. Now, just before I get into the meat and potatoes of God's word, let's watch this amazing story of God's power to restore broken relationships.
I was molested when I was less than 10 years old. I was really a little girl, but it affected me in many different ways over the years. Everything about me changed, the way I walked, the way I talked. I tried pouring out on paper. I used to write a lot. But even when I went back to what I had written, it just didn't make any sense. It was just words full of pain, full of confusion, frustration, and I did not know where all that was coming from. Because years had passed, after the molestation, and because I was very little when it happened, even me, I did not make that connection. The first time I told anyone about the molestation, they did not understand. They actually sort of took it lightly, which really hurt me. Finally, around S2, I talked to someone else who listened, explained to me certain things, because from the molestation I had started getting into habits that I actually didn't even know. So this person took the time to listen to me and to even explain that what you're saying you do like this and like that is called masturbation. I remember telling God I wanted to be invisible. I used to walk in school like I had got saved when I was very little. I remember that day very well. But with all that going on, I reached a point where I didn't really believe that God loved me. I did not know anymore what I believed in. I lost all my faith. I lost my hope. I asked the Lord to send me help from Zion. I just drowned myself in his word. I stuck in worship, and God helped me. He helped me get back onto my feet. On Father's Day 2019, I decided to go and have a chat with my father. I asked him to forgive me. He did the same as well, told me that he loves me. He has always loved me, and he asked me to forgive him as well. And he also told me that he forgives me and he gives me his blessing. I believe that is the day I got my healing. I had a lot of forgiving to do. All the wrong relationships I had gone into, and of course the person, the very first person who had molested me, I forgave myself. I forgave God for what I thought he had probably not done. I had known my husband for about 10 years by then, and we had been in and out of the relationship, mostly out. But at that point, with my relationship with my dad restored, now I could accept my husband. And then on March 13th, 2021, we got married. My dad walked me down the aisle. That was one of the best times of my life. There's no pain in my heart. I now have a husband that I love and respect. I receive his love, I receive his compliments, and I'm able to love him back. And so God has done great things, and in fact, we are expecting a little gift in a few months from now. So God has completely restored my life, and I believe that he's just doing more and more, and I'm going forward from here, no turning back.
What a beautiful story about God's amazing power to restore broken relationships. God is faithful, and this means that God remains true to his word and his promises no matter what. You can count on God to fulfill every promise in his word. The Apostle Paul states the same fact in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, and he says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." The promises of God are yes. In other words, he is committed to fulfilling his word. And we say amen because we are trusting in his faithfulness to fulfill his word. God is faithful to restore broken things back together. And so today I want to talk about God is faithful to restore. And this means that you can count on God to put broken relationships back together in their original state, even better. He is a faithful God. He restores the broken pieces of our lives and writes a beautiful story as a result. Now, in the beginning, God created everything beautiful. Everything was perfect. In fact, he said, everything was good. But in chapter 3, we see sin come into our world. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and as a result, pain, brokenness, and suffering was introduced into our world. And this is the result. Our relationship with God has been broken. Our relationships with one another have been messed up. But amidst this brokenness that we see in Genesis chapter 3, we also see an amazing promise from God in Genesis 3:15. And this is what the Bible says. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, this scripture specifically is talking about Jesus. And this scripture was fulfilled to the dot when Jesus died, was buried, and he rose on the third day. Through Christ, a way has been made for all of us to be restored back to God. What a faithful God. The only thing you do is believe and trust that Jesus is your Savior, and then you are restored to God, and then God empowers us to be restored to one another. Now, in the New Testament, in the parables, there are three parables that I want to spend some time on that reflect God's heart to restore sinners back to himself, which also empowers us to be restored to one another. And these parables are found in Luke 15. There are three parables, but it's the same meaning to all of them. The first one is the parable of the lost sheep, and the second one is the lost coin. The third is the lost son. In the first parable of the lost sheep, we see Jesus tells this story. A shepherd had 100 sheep. One wanders away and gets lost. And when the shepherd notices that one is missing, the shepherd leaves the 99 and does everything he can. And when he found the one lost sheep, He carried it back to the rest and celebrated. There was party because the lost had been found. In the second parable, the parable of the lost coin, a woman had 10 silver coins and then one was misplaced. And this woman turned her house upside down in search for her lost silver coin. And on finding that coin, she throws a party to celebrate the finding of the lost coin because these were so valuable to the owners. And the third parable talks about the prodigal son, which is the lost son. And this is where I'm going to spend most of my time teaching from. Now, open your Bibles, if you can, to Luke chapter 15 from verse 11. And I'm reading. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of my estate.' And so he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to feed his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a party. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Wow! What an amazing story to illustrate the powerful faithfulness of God to restore us to Himself. So what is the interpretation of all the three parables? This is it. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son represent sinners. They represent you and I. And then the shepherd, the woman, and the father represent God. And all these parables are all about God restoring sinners in a loving relationship to Himself. Now, from this parable, I just want to teach three lessons. Number one, God loves and values sinners. Number two, God pursues sinners with love. And number three, God restores sinners with celebration. Now, point number one, God loves and values sinners. Now, we don't see in the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd say, "Well, I have 99 sheep. One does not matter to me." But we see him searching for that one lost sheep because that one lost sheep is valuable to him. In the second parable of the lost coin, we don't see the woman said, "Well, I have 9. Let me cut my losses." No, the one does not matter. No, she turns the house upside down because that one silver coin matters. And then in the parable of the lost son, we don't see the father telling the son, "You know what? Now you can be a servant. You have lost your place." Instead, we see the father restore his lost son back to full sonship. You know why? The one lost sheep is as valuable as the 99. The one lost silver coin is as valuable as the 9 coins. The lost son is still as valuable as if he had not left. And upon finding the lost items, there is celebration. In fact, the Bible says, whenever a sinner comes to God, there is celebration in heaven. And I believe today there's going to be a party as many of you come to your senses and come to Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. You see, in 2010, there was a story that hit all the media outlets around the world and here in Uganda about a mine in Chile that had collapsed. This mine collapsed and trapped 33 miners underneath. There was a big stone called the megastone, which weighed about 700,000 tons, twice the weight of the Empire State Building, that blocked their way. Now the men underneath had lost hope. They were in despair. But on the surface, the government, the Chilean government, together with other governments, were looking for solutions to rescue these trapped miners. And thank God they found a way. I remember I was watching TV also when every miner came to the surface. There was celebration all around the world. You know why? Because something valuable had been rescued. You see, this illustrates the same principle I'm teaching here. God values sinners no matter where you are. You could be trapped in sin and sinful habits, and you think God doesn't value anymore. I want to let you know, you are worth the blood of Jesus. Jesus left heaven, came here on earth on a rescue mission so that you could be restored to the Father in heaven. Now back to the prodigal son's story. We are told that this boy engaged in a sinful lifestyle. He became so broke that he began to eat with the pigs. Now we must understand, in a Jewish context, this is terrible, because Jews consider pigs as unclean animals and they don't associate with pigs. This means that this boy had really gone so low. And I believe that Jesus uses this language to paint a picture of what sin does to us. Sin is ugly. Sin humiliates us. Sin defiles us. But then we see that when the son came back to his father, the father ran to the son and embraced him, because to the father, whereas this boy had sinned, he had never lost his value. You see, friends, although sin defiles us, it does not devalue us. You are worth the blood of Jesus, and today you can come and be restored to God. Point number two, God pursues sinners with love. In all these parables, we see the owners pursuing the lost item, the shepherd looking for the lost sheep, the woman looking for the lost coin, and we see the father doing what Jewish old men never did, running towards his son and embracing him to restore him. Because God values lost sinners, but also he pursues lost sinners. And the father is a picture of our heavenly father. Now, in the Jewish culture, old men were never supposed to run, because they wore clothes. They didn't wear pants like I'm wearing today. They wore things that look like dresses or like kanzus in Uganda. And to run, one had to pull up the kanzu and then expose himself in order to run. That was undignified. But in this story, we see the father becoming undignified because his son had come back home. In the same way, friends, Jesus hung on that cross naked. He was in shame. He was exposed to everybody. He was exposed to the people he created. You see, friends, God does not care what his son looked on the cross, because he wants to pursue you. He is pursuing you with his love because he loves you. You see, in Jesus, we see our heavenly father's loving pursuit for sinners. And I want us to remember that it is the Father who initiated this pursuit. We never invited Jesus to come into our world. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." To this day, God is still pursuing sinners. Come to him today and be restored to himself and become a son of God. And then finally, God always finishes what he starts. God restores sinners with celebration. Did you notice that the father did not allow the son to say his practice speech about becoming a servant? Instead, we see the extravagant grace and mercy of the father. He was given the best robe reserved for guests of honor, given a ring on his finger signifying authority, given new sandals that were worn by free people, not slaves. And all these three things signified the restoration of his son to full sonship. And then they killed the fattened calf reserved for important occasions. And Jesus was simply saying that When we are restored, we are restored to full sonship as if nothing had gone wrong. Come on, somebody. Would you praise the Lord with me? Wow, that is so amazing. You see, friends, the prodigal son represents you and I. We are sinners. We have engaged in wild living. And sin has humiliated us. It has defiled us. But let me tell you, friends, you are still valuable to God. He is still pursuing you, and he wants to restore you to full sonship. And guess what happens when you come to God? John 1:12 says this, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So friend, come as you are. Salvation is not something we work for. It's not a reward for good work. Salvation is a gift that God graciously gives to sinners so they can be restored back to himself. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Wow. Amazing. Three things. God values sinners, and he loves them. Number two, God pursues sinners with love. And then number three, God restores sinners with celebration. So today, if you're hearing my voice and you've not been restored to God, this is your moment today to believe in Jesus and be restored to him and become a child of God. But if you're a child of God, you're a Christian, today, God is calling you to begin to preach the message of restoration. Preach the gospel. At Watoto, we say, each one reaching one. A couple of weeks, when we participate in my MMO, we are also using our resources towards the work of reaching the lost. So Christians, let's get involved in the work of reaching lost people because God values them and he's pursuing them through you today. But also today, I want to encourage you, if you're experiencing a broken relationship in your life, be restored to one another. You see, we forgive as we've been forgiven. And when we forgive, we are reflecting the forgiveness that God gave to us through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:32 says this, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." The power to be restored to one another comes when you offer forgiveness as God offered you forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So be reconciled to one another. Don't allow bitterness to hinder you from God's best in your life. But at this moment, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you to be restored to one another, but also I want to pray for you specifically to receive Jesus and be restored to God. Now let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for every person who's watching, who's part of this service, who is experiencing a broken relationship. My God, just like you've forgiven them, I'm praying may they release the other by forgiving them as well. And may they experience the power of your faithfulness to restore. And you can do this in Jesus' name. Now, if you believe in your heart today that this is the day to be forgiven by God, I want to pray for you. Would you repeat this prayer after me to verbalize what is happening in your heart? Say, "Jesus, today, I believe I'm a sinner, but I also believe that you are my Savior. I come to you to be forgiven and be restored to my Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer from your heart, you have become a child of God and there is celebration in heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations. You've done the best thing in your life.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.